You're listening to Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, Eddie Pascal, episode 9 of Upon Further Review. And boy, another tough one on Sunday. Up early, and good old Brandon McManus, was the thorn in the collective side of the silver and black. But all is not lost, so let's look at the positives. Positive one, DC was back, baby. Oh, he was back in a big way. 29-32, almost 300 yards. Franchise record for completion percentage in the first half. Good. Real good. Like that. Another positive. I think that the first half at Mile High was the best defensive half of Raiders football that I have seen since I started working here in 2013. Incredible. Looked like a renewed group, a re-energized group, a group that knew where they needed to be on every single play. Outstanding stuff. Now, obviously, is the next step, playing that full 60 minutes, right? Not letting the Broncos get back into that game, and obviously eventually, you know, beating the Raiders and with 6 seconds left. But all is not lost, guys. We're 0-2. Certainly not where this team wanted to be, but 2 weeks off now to Miami, as we will get to a little bit later. But obviously a huge game. Huge game at Hard Rock Stadium against a good Dolphins team, a Dolphins team that's 2-0. Kind of shocked the world a little bit, taking care of business that first 2 weeks. But, man, it's never easy to win on the road. We've learned that last week. We're going to have it again this week. But we're keeping it positive. We're excited. We're fired up. And let's please, please, please not overreact. It's 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Not 3 weeks. Not 4 weeks. Not 8 weeks. 2 weeks. Anyways, it's out of our system. We're moving on. And we have a really good episode today. We're really excited. We have, well, I don't know if I should call him the White Tiger, as you'll find out later, but the White Tiger, Martavis Bryant, a.k.a. the Alien, a.k.a. personal friend of Quavo from the Migos, and our very own Matthew Garwox. A quick shout-out to our guy, Kyle Martin Media, who, shocker, has fallen ill, so he will not be joining us this week. Thoughts and prayers to Kyle. But regardless, we have a great episode. We're fired up, so let's get into it with our conversation with Martavis Bryant. All right, man. We are super excited to welcome in one of our wide receivers, number 12, Martavis Bryant. And let me go back real quick to the first time. I don't know if you remember this. The first time I met you, I messed your name up, and you were super cool about it.
Yeah.
You didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, we had to be like, oh, my God, I can't believe I called you. I think I called you Martavis Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
So how often, bro, do people mess your name up?
People mess my first name up all the time. I'm actually pretty used to it. It's been happening since I was a child. So most people would be like, Martavius. I'm like, nah, that ain't my name, but I'm used to hearing it. But it's Martavius, though. Man, I don't be tripping. I'm so used to it now.
I know. That's when I was like, all right, this will be cool. Because, you know, a lot of guys would get really, oh, it's not my name. It's not my name. Yeah. And you were super cool about it. Really nice. So we appreciate that.
Yeah.
So, question for you.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole White Tiger thing has taken off, right? Gruden mm-hmm. calls you the White Tiger, and you're like, ah, yeah, it's cool, it's whatever. But what do you have, like, a nickname that you go by, and like your boys call you or something? Mm-hmm. What do you like going by?
Some of my friends call me Tay, and most of my fans call me the Alien.
So, the Alien.
Yeah.
Why the Alien?
Just people, because some of the things I do on the field is not ordinary, you know, and. You know, I've been running along with the name now for, going on 4 years, so that's pretty much what I go by.
Okay, the Alien. I like that. Those are two pretty good ones, though, the Alien and the White Tiger. Mm-hmm. Those are not two pretty good ones to have as far as nicknames go.
Yeah.
So when we talked to the other guys, right, and coaches said it a bunch, that he said that this offense changed last week when mm-hmm. you were out there,
mm-hmm.
just for the pure fact of you being out there, of being a big guy who can go out, stretch the field, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
How fast are you?
I say it all depends. It all depends on the ball. My game speed and my practice speed are two different speeds, but I'm pretty fast, I would say.
How would you run the 40 in at the combine?
I ran a 4.34 and a 4.35.
The fastest you ever ran, or did you run it faster?
That's not the fastest I ever ran before, no.
So you've gone sub 4.34?
Sub 4.2 before.
Yeah. No, you didn't. Yeah, you went sub 4.2?
I ran 4.27 last year over the summer at 230 pounds.
Yeah. Bro, you are an alien.
Yeah.
Shoot. So when did you, was there like a moment for you, like when you were a kid or something, where you're like, all right, man, I'm pretty fast. Like, I'm leaving the rest of these dudes in the dust.
I learned that at a young age playing football. You know, I used to play running back in my Pop Warner leagues, and, you know, they would give me little sweet passes and tosses, and I would never run up the middle. I would run to one side. The defense was over pursuing, I'd cut back across field and run all the way back across and score a touchdown. So I knew I was faster than everybody growing up as a kid.
I mean, it probably doesn't make sense for you to even go in the middle if you can just hit the edge. I mean, who's going to catch you,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I never ran up the middle. I always cut back across field and stuff.
When after the past, everything that's happened the past couple of months, how good did it feel, that first catch on Sunday afternoon?
It felt good to be back playing with my brothers, to be out on the field going to battle with them. You know, it was a tough loss for us, but, you know, ultimately, you know, we want to have a winning season. We got a lot of more ball to play, and, you know, it's going to make it a great finish and a great year.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think that, you know, obviously sitting at 0-2, no one, you know, not where anyone wants to be, but I think that people are forgetting it's two games.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? It's two games. Yeah. It's a long season, and obviously, like you said, it's important to, you know, get wins, notch wins. There's only 16 of them, but it's 2 weeks. So is the sense in the – I mean, I can't imagine in the locker room there's that sense of, you know, the sky's falling. It's
no,
two
no
weeks,
guys, no, nobody is panicking. Everybody is, you know, just putting more attention to detail and working on their craft to get better and just come out and play great ball on Sunday. If you get caught up thinking about the losses and stuff, they will start to add up. You're not really focused on the job at hand that you need to get done. So, you know, guys, don't put the loss behind us. We're moving on forward. We can't keep going on and on about the loss, what happened last week. We got to put it behind us and just move forward.
Have you ever lined up at the line of scrimmage or whatever, looked over, like looked at the corner in front of you and been like, dude, this guy's got no chance?
A lot of times I have, yeah. I don't so much say anything.
Yeah.
I just look at him, and sometimes I smile or smirk at him and stuff, you know. Half of them be quiet. Don't too many people say nothing to me when we're on the field. We just play ball and stuff. You know, I'm pretty good friends with most of the guys I go against. So, you know, you get guys every now and then that try to talk a little trash, but for the most part, nobody wants to pretty much say nothing to me.
Man, I always said that if I were, you know, to do it all over again, I'd be a shutdown corner. That's what I'd want to be. I'm going to be a shutdown corner. I want to run my mouth. I want to be yapping at the guy across from me. But you said there's not that many dudes that do that anymore?
Not. They dudes that do it, but they don't do it to me. They pick out certain guys that they do it to. For me, most of the people who talk trash to me be the defensive linemen.
Really?
Yes.
Why the D-line?
I guess because they feel like they're bigger than them, and I would be scared of them. But
you're not a small dude, bro. You're what, 6'4", 2", whatever? Like, come on.
I laugh at them, too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's easier to laugh.
Yeah.
So one thing that I've always been impressed by you since you've been here is the swag.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if we're after practice,
mm-hmm.
going on a road trip, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Always iced out, always to the T.
Mm-hmm.
What is the Martavis style, if you were to put it, if you were kind of describe like what you do, what your swag is?
I feel like, you know, growing up as a child, you know, I had certain things, but I ain't always have the best thing that every other kid's had, because, you know, it was just being my mom, and, you know, she did a great job raising me. But once I was able to, you know, provide for my family and take care of myself, you know, I started keeping up with my fashion, my trend, and, you know, and the way you look and the way you carry yourself says a lot about a person. So, you know, I always want to put on a great persona that I'm a well-dressed person, and I take care of myself.
I mean, you're a tall dude, too. I mean, I'm 6'1", and I sometimes have a hard time finding pants that fit me.
Mm-hmm.
When you're buying, like, that, like, super high-end, really nice kind of stuff, do you want to get that kind of stuff custom?
Sometimes you have to get it custom, but it all depends. I mean, some stores like Barney's, New York, and, you know, certain designer stores have your size. Luckily for me, I'm a big dude, but I'm slim in a way. So a lot of my clothes, you know, it's easy to find a size 34 in pants and put it on. So, yeah.
Dude, it's got to be hard for those big fellas, though. Like, the dudes who are, like, your size, like 6'4", 6'5", but weigh, like, 310, 320.
Yeah, those guys have to get customized stuff made, but luckily, you know, the type of money and stuff that everybody makes and stuff, they're able to get certain clothes that fit them.
Yeah, that's still got to be rough, though.
Yeah,
for those big fellas.
It is.
Those big fellas trying to look nice, too, mm-hmm. you know, trying to be swagged out, have their rings, all that kind of stuff. It's got to be a challenge when you're looking at, what, like a 40-something inch waist?
Correct.
Hey, yeah, you still live in Vegas?
Yes, we still live in Vegas, but me and my girl decided this year in the off season we're going to stay in Oakland the whole time.
Oh, nice, man.
We'll stay out here and get situated, and I'm going to train out here and just come to the facility and train every day and just spend time with them.
That's awesome, bro.
Yeah.
How was – you were in Vegas. We were talking earlier that you used to live in Vegas. How was Vegas changed as a sports town in the past couple of years since you've been there. I mean, I feel like most people, you think of Vegas and you think of the Strip and, mm-hmm. and the casinos and all that stuff, but there's so much more to it there than just that.
Yeah, people always put in mind that Vegas is just a party city, but it's not. It's great living outside of the Strip, you know. Especially with the things that's been going on in the last year and a half, what happened in Vegas with the killing and stuff, you know, with the hockey team coming there and actually being a big part of the city, the team has really took on the community, and the community has took on the team and supported them guys, and them guys has been winning. And, you know, you go around in Vegas now, every place you go, you see a Golden Knights sign here, Golden Knights sign there, and it's just a great, great town, and they're very excited for sports to be coming and for sports to be there.
I mean, and you rocked, if I remember correctly, after, like you said, that shooting in Vegas, that you're the Vegas strong cleaves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man, you got to put, yeah, it's good. I mean, I think one thing that we noticed is that there is that definitely, like, community feel, right?
Where, correct.
I mean, you never want anything like that to happen, but it brings people together for, you know, for better, for worse. But obviously, correct. You don't want something like that to happen. So the big news today, I don't know if you've heard it. We've been talking about it in the studio earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The Super Bowl halftime and performer has been announced. You know what it is?
Mm-mm.
So keep in mind, we're in Atlanta, right?
Correct.
The Super Bowl is going to be in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
In many cases, the home of hip-hop, Maroon 5. He's shaking his head. Shaking his head. Come on, Maroon 5? I like Maroon 5, too. Like, I'm not too big to say, like, I enjoy Adam Levine. I think he's got a nice voice.
Correct.
But we're going to go to Atlanta, and you're going to throw Maroon 5 out there for 25 minutes?
I will feel like, I mean, it ain't my decision, but I feel like they should have had some a real popular star from the home of Atlanta to do it.
2 Chainz,
yeah,
Future.
Yeah. A lot of Migos, a lot of those guys.
Migos,
there.
Right. Yeah. How is who would your halftime show be?
I definitely had the Migos there.
They probably.
That's really, me and Quavo are really good friends.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, he's a great guy, man. Offset and Take Off, those guys are all great, man. They manage real. The guys do a great job, man. They work hard, and it would be great if they could do it. I would definitely pick those guys, man.
What's one thing about Quavo that normal people like us don't know?
He's very competitive in sports. He loves sports. And, caring guy, man. You know, last year he had Huncho Day back at home in his high school, and a lot of football guys and a lot of rappers went out and supported him and played in the game. Man, he's a very caring guy, man, and just loves sports and very good at sports, too.
What's his best game?
Best sport he can play? Basketball. He's really
yeah?
good at
basketball. He's legit?
Yeah, he's
really not good. One of those rappers who thinks he can play basketball? He can actually play basketball?
Nah, he can play ball.
You taking him one-on-one before?
Nah, we haven't played together. We just shot around and stuff. But from videos I've seen, me shooting around with him, he takes it very seriously. He's very good at it.
All right. I'll dig that. So who wins, though, the one-on-one, you and Quavo?
If we played, I would definitely beat him. He's going to say he's going to beat me, though. But
he's kind of small, right?
I think he's about 6'1". Quavo, he ain't too short.
But you got the reach on him and everything, I'd imagine.
He can shoot, though, and dribble.
Okay.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah.
All right, we got to get him out here to a game in the number 12 jersey. Shoot.
Yeah, most definitely.
Cool. All right, man. Marsavis, we appreciate your time, man. I know you got to cut to meetings, but really appreciate you hanging out with us, and we'll catch up with you later.
Thank y'all guys for having me.
All right. And as become our tradition here on Upon Further Review, the victory formation. Usually our guy Kyle Martin Media at Kyle's Feed would be joining us for this segment, and I'm sure he'll come back at some point. We have in his stead, actually, we're going to have both of them here today in full transparency, but like I said, Kyle's not with us. So we are pleased to welcome in social media manager of the Silver and Black, Matthew Garwalks. Follow him on Twitter at MGWalks.
Eddie, thank you very much. That is a very kind introduction. As Coach Gruden says, the best ability is availability, and Kyle's loss is my gain, and I'm happy to be here with you.
And I'm ecstatic. I do look forward to the day, hopefully when he's back to 60% health, of having you both in here. We'll chop it up. The blessings will abound. Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Today, Super Bowl halftime is leaked. We talked about it with Martavis. He was less than thrilled about the selection of Maroon 5. Off the top, just your thoughts, and then we'll get into a little more of what we, you know, really the nitty-gritty of this decision.
Well, it strikes me as very safe.
Mm-hmm.
I myself am not a Maroon 5 guy. I was on a game show last spring, and I missed a question about Maroon 5 that would have made my father and I millionaires.
Let's just say this. If you got that question right, you would not be sitting here on this podcast.
I don't know if that's true. We would have burned through it pretty quick. So for that reason alone, I'm not a Maroon 5 fan.
So this is, we got into it with the alien himself a little bit earlier, but I don't understand going to Atlanta, having everything that Atlanta represents as this kind of cultural hub of music and hip hop and everything, and you land on Adam Levine?
Well, it won't. I'm sure it won't just be
sure.
Maroon 5
a great point.
Because you know the last 5 to 10 years they've mashed three, four, five different groups together, which I don't think is a great idea either. Either give it to Red Hot Chili Peppers or give it to Bruno Mars. Don't make them mash up some sort of horrible middle class concoction.
Sure. So. Our guy Kyle Sfeed, while he's not here physically with us, is here with us in spirit and on the Twitter sticks at Kyle Sfeed. Be sure to follow him and tweet at him your well wishes for whatever he's dealing with right now. But he actually had an interesting tweet, and it made me think. We talked about it a little bit earlier, and I'd love to get producer Trav's thoughts on this as well, because also I think collectively we have a pretty good musical base of knowledge. And so Kyle tweeted, he goes, he was outraged by Maroon 5, obviously. Probably more outraged than he should have been. But he tweeted, he goes, if you could have three, because it seems like in recent years, it always comes down to three, right? You have the headliner, and then he brings out his buddy, and yada, yada, a trio. If you could have any trio to do the Super Bowl halftime show, what would your trio be?
I mean, it's a great question. And can it be someone, I know we debated this in the studio, can it be someone who has done it before?
I would say yes, because at the end of the day, if you're a showman, you're a showman.
Well, we got to bring back the boss, baby, Bruce Springsteen. Then you don't need two other acts.
So you would go solo boss. Just speaking of safe.
That's a good point. Realistically, Kanye has never done one, right?
I don't think Yeezus would ever do one. I think that's too mainstream for him. It's too,
yeah,
you know.
It's sort of the pinnacle, though. Like, it's for a lot of groups, it's like the one thing that, you know, for The Who or for Tom Petty or for Springsteen, like these
May
guys who have done everything else in their careers, for a lot of them it was like, you know, like the last thing.
My three would be 2 Chainz, Atlanta, the Atlanta connection. You'd get the people going. And then, as we were discussing, featuring Rob Thomas featuring Santana.
Santana, again, making a return to the Super Bowl stage.
An incredible return, a highly anticipated return. You guys all talk smack about Santana. That man is a showman, though.
Sure. I don't think that's in question. Perhaps a little too much of a showman at times.
Perhaps not enough.
Who's your favorite halftime act in Super Bowl history?
Oh,
I know this
boy.
Debate always gets kicked around early February.
Boy. I mean, we went through a phase, I think it was right before you started working here, where the season had ended for us, and we had a little more time on our hands than, say, we do right now. But we watched, what would you say, between 20 and 25 Super Bowl halftimes?
Yeah, I'd say we went down the line with them, you know.
Yeah, we definitely, between 20 and 25, I think, is a fair number. I mean, the one for me, and I'm sure I'm not alone in this thought, is that Michael Jackson one. The extended pause that before he even started. And
he
then,
came out of the scoreboard.
Yeah, and then was he at the top? Was he at the bottom? And then everyone's sitting there for what seems like 19 minutes before the man actually hees, and then we're off. But
it's pretty crazy that now, obviously, it's for some people, it's bigger than the game itself. And you don't have to go back very many years, and it was just in the middle of, like, the day. You know, it was at like 3 in the afternoon, and it was an outdoor stadium, and the sun is shining, and Kiss is trying to battle with the pyrotechnics. Like, it's just come so far.
It's a scene, man. It's the show within the show, I guess.
For me, there's two, Springsteen excluded, because that was mostly a joke. The one thing I'll remember from Springsteen's is he urged America to put down the guacamole, step away from the buffalo wings. And, you know, it's just self-parody at that point.
Sure.
But it's Prince playing
Purple
Rain in the rain.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
And he's battling, you know, like, I can't imagine the sound guys or the techs were that thrilled that he was out there in the rain with all this equipment around him. And U2, after the 9/11 attacks, and they had a big banner behind them, and they projected the names of all the 9/11 victims. And at the end, I think it was... Pride in the Name of Love. At the crescendo, Bono opened up his jacket and he had the American flag sewn inside his jacket. And let me just tell you, 12-year-old Matt thought that was pretty cool.
Well, Space Jam 2 is coming out. So how about that? That's pretty neat. Pretty neat, isn't it?
It seemed like it had been in the works for years now.
Yeah. I'm fired up, though. I mean, I go back and forth where I'm sure we'll talk about this time and time again as basketball season gets closer and closer, but I was before this year, I was never like a big LeBron on the court guy. Much respect for LeBron off the court. He's helped all the kids and things of that nature. I love that. But on the court, I was like, yo, man, I don't know. I don't know if I buy it. And I'm not like you or Kyle or, you know, all these people who are Kobe guys or MJ guys or whatever. I'm an Andres Biedrins, Nick Van Exel guy. That's the kind of guy I am.
That old cliche.
Yes. But I don't know, man. I mean, I'm excited. I'll watch it. I'm going to, you know, they'll get my $14 or however much it'll be at that point to go see Space Jam. But
here's a hot take. I watched Space Jam in the last year. It does not hold up.
You don't think so?
It is not a good movie. Ooh. There are some good one-off performances. Bill Murray is characteristically funny in it. Wayne Knight is okay. Larry Bird is even not that bad. But just the dialogue, I get that it's not made for a 27-year-old man. But
where do you stand on actor or athletes as actors? I feel like you probably have a firm stance on that somewhere along the line.
I think, well, on the one end of the spectrum is Kareem, I think, from his Kung Fu movies to Airplane, he was very funny in. And OJ, another guy who flexed his acting chops. And then on the other side, who's the worst athlete actor out there? I thought LeBron was pretty funny in Trainwreck.
That was the example I was just going to use, where I thought LeBron was really funny, but LeBron was playing himself. He wasn't playing, you know.
Ray Allen was amazing, and he got game.
But yeah, I mean, it's a weird one, right, where it's, you know, all athletes want to be musicians. Musicians want to be athletes. It's that old.
I've got one. I don't think Dan Marino was that good in Ace Ventura. I'll say it. I'm not afraid to. Dan Marino blew it. Although, I don't want to tease anything too much, but we have Marco Coleman on staff. Marco Coleman was in Ace Ventura. Perhaps he has a hotter take than we do on athletes in movies.
Boom, boom, boom. And Dan Marino, legendary Miami Dolphin, as with Marco. We're going to Miami, baby!
Woo! It's a much better segue.
Off to Miami. So, we were there last year. You got to dip your toes in the Atlantic Ocean. It was a very beautiful moment for you. What's on the docket this year?
My lasting memory from last year in Miami is that, there was a Lenny Kravitz concert going on downtown.
Yes.
That we were so close, but we couldn't
get. I felt the man's
anywhere.
Energy from 200 meters away.
Loyal fans of the program probably know Eddie is a huge Len guy.
Big Len guy. Big Len supporter. Anything Len puts his stamp on, I'm putting my stamp on.
But I mostly remember that, especially in South Beach and in the surrounding areas, everyone was just dancing. It was just like a beautiful, chaotic musical, and everyone was, they just had the rhythm.
Miami is a city of celebration. And it's not like, I've only been there the one time. Have you been there outside of the time we were there last year?
Yes, I've been there one other time, but I was like, I don't know, probably 16 or 17.
Sure. I'm sure you had a great time. But yeah, I mean, like, I look at Miami and it just reminds me, and this is going to sound like just like this huge cliche, but it reminds me of a Carlos Santana music video. You know what I mean? Everyone's dancing. Everyone's singing. The shirts are very flowy in nature. You can be whoever you want to be in Miami, brother. You can throw in a little Panama hat. You can wear some bright khakis.
Yeah,
the
I remember.
The world is your oyster down there.
You can be whoever you want to be. The last time I was there, I really wanted to be a cigar guy.
Oh.
And let me just tell you.
I remember that. I remember. I completely forgot about that.
It didn't take.
I just... That's probably good. I just remember, I don't know if you do, but we were walking. We were at this little square across the street from the hotel where there was that beautiful live music. We heard that 13-minute rendition of Do a Little Dance.
Casey and the Sunshine Band.
I'm sorry. It was Casey and the Sunshine Band, a 13-minute rendition of
Get Down Tonight.
Get down. But we were leaving that little town square where it was just this beautiful live music. It was on the water. Remember all those boats, and everyone was having such a good time.
A lot of chain restaurants.
Yeah. And we're walking, and we walked by this storefront, and it's a Friday night or whatever, and you know, so everyone's out, and you know, there's not that many people in the stores. But I remember looking at the storefront, and all they had in the front window was just different all white outfits, and I said, "This is my city."
Oh boy!
From the silk and satin, a lot of cloth. Oh, it was gorgeous. Strictly all white outfits in the store.
The Lincoln Kennedy special.
Big shout out to Big Lincoln one time. I actually, in all seriousness, cannot wait to see what Lincoln is wearing on game day.
Oh man! His Cuban links are
To our loyal listeners out there, if you haven't caught on to this just yet, Lincoln Kennedy, who's up in the booth now, mm-hmm. in the radio broadcast with Brent Musburger and Chris Townsend on the sideline, has gorgeously outstanding game day outfits.
From Raider chains to leather apparel to
what I can only describe as a baptism outfit. It's incredible. So I really,
he knows how to dress.
Yeah, truthfully, cannot wait to see what Big Link has in store.
It was the same town square that they have their own, essentially, Walk of Fame, but everything on the Walk of Fame is dedicated to a different Latin music and film and television star. They essentially have their own Latino Walk of Fame.
Perhaps one day I'll be lucky enough to end up there. if the Almighty, if everything lines up and...
I'll be pulling for you.
And this podcast really takes off. Me and producer Trav are going to be on the Latino Hall of Fame. We're off to Miami in 2 days. Can't wait. It's going to be a blast.
Let's get a W.
For Eddie Pascal, producer Trav, engineer Jim, who did the Martavis interview, which you guys heard earlier. Sounded great. MG Walks. And in our thoughts and prayers, Kyle Martin, make sure you, like I said, tweet at him. He could use all the positive encouragement he could get. And on that note, we're off, ladies and gentlemen. And we will catch you next week on Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network.